I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
You're listening to the Sexy Unique Podcast, and I'm your host, Laura Marie Shainhalls.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me.
Ryan, thank you for being my guest tonight on the very first sup.
Oh, of course. I mean, if I wasn't, I would have literally lit your apartment on fire.
How do you know where I live?
Yeah, I live next door to you. I would have literally peeked out of my French doors and like gave you menacing stares.
No, I needed you here for like emotional support. Yeah. And also just like to stick around if there are any technical difficulties.
Yeah, I'm your emotional support dog today.
Yeah, you are. You're my emotional support bitch.
Yeah, you know, it's been a whirlwind few days.
It has been.
I'm gonna go on a whim and say it's been crazy.
There's been a lot of drama, which mm-hmm. is like not usually what happens in my world, I would
but
say.
It happens in my world a lot.
It happens in your, you're mostly the drama queen, but we kind of switched roles.
Yeah,
and then
she was full of drama today. And it was the most absurd drama, because it was about Vanderpump Rules.
It's just like, you cannot,
life has gotten too lull and too real.
Basically, Pumped is no more. Mm-hmm. This is the replacement. I'm happy to have everyone tuning in here. And this is a safe space where lols and trolls happen. Basically, the last podcast just ended up being, it, we weren't able to like speak our full truths on it,
which had been going on for a while.
Yeah. And so now we're in a new zone with new truths to speak. And we're just going to do a podcast that's like about fans, for fans. Cast is not involved. And
yeah.
That's that.
Doesn't take Nancy Drew to figure out what happened when you become friends with cast members on a show that you're dedicated to trolling. It somehow makes things complicated.
Well, it just makes things more real. And so,
and less fun.
Yeah. It was just like a conflict of interest. And like the whole fun part about watching this show is being able to like have very detailed conversations with other people about the show. And when someone feels like they have to edit themselves, aka me, it's just like, ain't gonna work no mo. So,
right. But the nuzzle's coming off and she's a free bitch, baby.
Free bird.
Sore. Sore to the alleyway.
Sore over the alleyway.
Yeah.
So let's just get into this episode and kind of talk about what happens.
It's a good one to do. I mean, you know, you're in the episode.
Yeah.
But you should probably clarify to the fans out there what that means, because you're not friends with these people.
No, I have no friendships or like alliances. I mean, I will say I think Ariana is like the least offensive.
She's
and,
cool.
Like, psychotic person on this
yeah.
cast.
I mean, I think you have to be like 2% mentally ill to like want to be in a reality show. So like, I always question people who actually seek this out. But I think out of all things considered, I think that Ariana is the most woke. And, you know, she thinks like, what is she? She said the word misogyny on a reality show.
She's bringing awareness which to doesn't like, happen. The plight against the patriarchy. So
didn't Brittany think it was something else?
Brittany thought it was massages.
Yeah.
Does that mean he gives a lot of massages?
No, it's no. The opposite of a massage. It's an assault.
It, bitch. What the fuck?
Yeah. Well. So
Ariana's bringing like a lot of Google it energy to the show, and like despite her like weird wardrobe choices this season, I think that
you think they're weird. I thought she looked good in that pantsuit thing she wore.
What pantsuit?
The one she wore to
That one was like banging.
Yeah,
she looked incredible. Yeah. I was at the party that night and she looked really good.
She was at both parties, you guys.
Yeah, I was at both Sandoval. Don't and get too Jack's jealous.
Put down those peanut butter and jealousy sandwiches.
Don't come for me over this. But yeah, I was invited to attend the tapings by Craig, and I took him up on that offer because really, I truly. In the moment in time, I'm like, oh, I love watching this show on TV. Like, here's a chance to see the train wreck up close. And then it's really never that. It's actually just like kind of awkward for me. And then it also is like, it's a taping of a show. So it's not like watching the show, which, well, Albert Einstein over here.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I'm like, why isn't it the same?
Yeah. why aren't there fun cuts?
Yeah. So... not as fun as like actually watching, but still interesting nonetheless. But yeah, I mean, it part of the awkwardness definitely comes from like knowing that I actively like have made like a passion out of trolling these people, and then you interact with them IRL and you're like, I feel weird about this. Like, yes. I wouldn't want to go to a party where people had created a podcast dedicated to like pointing out how psychotic I am.
No. So, and they listened to like every episode, right?
Yeah, they listened to like, I mean, when Stassi, Kristen, and Katie were on the podcast, I realized like they've listened to every single episode and like can pinpoint actual things that I and past guests have said about them. And then I was like, wait, this has gone too far. Like,
yeah,
it now the troll came around full circle and then started to troll me. So I had to get out of there.
But now back to just old-fashioned trolling.
Yeah. So it's like, welcome back, Cotter.
Yeah.
So this episode really like kicked off with everyone pretending to work at Sir like they normally do, which is my favorite charade of this season. It's like people being passionate about their jobs at Sir.
I need to make another mojito. Oh no, quick.
They're like, how's everything? Like, are you happy with your chicken? Like,
yeah, no. Exactly. Like, they're like,
get the fuck out of here, Sheena. Slash,
can we take selfies together? I mean, like, that's what it is.
Who wants to just like willingly sit at Katie's table? I wonder if her table actually has like, if like people don't like request not to have her because she's been so awful this season.
Well, they work like probably like two shifts a year. I mean, they're not really there, are they?
I don't know. I mean, I've gone like Sandoval's bartending. Oh, I think they still do shifts.
That's so rude. That's so rude. They're tethered to this like weird like minimum wage job where people go specifically to see them. Like they're like animals.
They're like
zoo,
zoo creatures that bring you goat cheese balls.
Yeah, and then like if, like no one's going to serve for like the yum 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 food. You know what I mean? Like everyone, like no one's like yum. That chicken is to die.
I've been craving the goat cheese ball salad. I need it. Pack up the car. We're going to serve. Like that never has happened. One
no,
time.
You go to see these people, and so they have to work to basically be observed and bring foot traffic to the restaurant. I mean, it's a pretty rude existence. I
yeah,
would say.
It's like not great for anyone, but like it's also just like so humbling in a way to have to see them like deal with that. And I also am like, I have like a special affinity in my heart for like all the women who have broken free of the Sir chains, like Kristen and Stassi, who like managed to get out of there but then
and still,
still
be on
the show
which is amazing,
like, really brilliant.
It's a life hack. It's a yeah,
it's
exactly.
A total life hack. They're living their best lives.
Yeah, they're not working and yet they're working.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
They're honey, they're working.
Yeah.
So Sheena basically lies to Lisa and is like, everything in Sheena and Shayland is going really well.
She's like trembling, like her eyelash falls out, like it's just like
a single tear rolls down her cheek. And
yeah,
she's just like
Shay's cut to Shay in his cage. And you're like, Shay's let me like out,
snorting
let me
a
out.
Percocet.
Yeah, exactly. Like Yeah.
She's like, Shay hasn't woken up for 3 days and I'm worried because his skin is turning blue, but everything in Sheena and Shaylin is really, really well.
Yeah, exactly. I had to do CPR when he went unconscious the other night, but honestly, he just like felt lightheaded, like altitude and stuff.
I woke up and he was like smothering himself with one of my throw pillows and I was like, Shay, what's wrong? Are things well? And he looked at me and he goes, they're really well.
We've had to remove the butter knives from the kitchen because he keeps trying to slit his wrists and it's so weird.
He cries in the shower every morning for 45 to 50 minutes.
But then he said it's because he loves me so much. And so I'm like, okay.
He's doing like, are you going to go to the studio or what? And he's like, babe, I'm trying to fucking work.
Yeah, his beat. Era.
Oh, it's God. Like Escape. Did you notice too, one of our longtime listeners of Pumped, Matt Lally, called me and told me specifically that Mike Shay is wearing a Mike Shay t-shirt in this episode.
Oh my God.
Like when he's chilling at home.
Mike Shay made it. Like that.
I don't even know what his like tagline, producer tagline is.
I don't know. Scared and alone.
It's like, give me Molly.
Please.
No, but he's wearing a Mike Shay shirt like while they're chilling at home and then like later at the roast.
Yikes.
I think at the roast. Yeah, at the roast too.
Yikes.
Super dark. But like, I think that Sheena's kind of being like tactical and smart about the way she portrays herself on the show.
Sort of. I mean, she doesn't always come off. I mean compared to Katie, Stassi, and Kristen, and she's like, you definitely feel for her because she's getting shit on so much, whatever. But we talked about this, like, I think that she really likes secretly being the victim. I think it gets her attention and she wants people to feel sorry for her a little bit.
And it gives her a purpose.
Yeah.
It gives it like creates exactly. a purpose driven life for Sheena where it's yeah. like she can just always be complaining about like what's going on and how everyone has wronged her.
But it still must suck to be trolled that relentlessly by your so-called best friends. I mean, it's just insane. It's Mean Girls.
I mean, I think we're about to have the emancipation of Sheena where she finally like breaks free of the chains breaks of free the triangle
and then
brains.
Breaks free and then goes to someone else to tell her what to do. I mean, she really is like Karen from Mean Girls. Like, she's not even Gretchen.
Yeah.
She's not even Gretchen. Like she's just like, that. She doesn't know her own identity.
Sheena tried to fuck with James and Raquel.
Oh, yeah. And she's like literally a sex doll brought to life.
She was completely just like stone-faced and like, it was fine.
Yeah, she's like, you just, sometimes people get mad and they take selfies together.
Sometimes people take selfies and then there's beds.
I get in beds and I take pictures of myself with them.
She goes, that's just night-night time.
Night-night.
Good night.
Good night.
just slowly falls asleep.
She collapses onto the ground. They're like,
she's just like
your girlfriend's short-circuiting again.
Yeah, she's like...
Recharge your batteries.
Literally a robot that someone coded in like undergrad community college with a series of zeros and ones that all she can do is like blink and nod and smile and then like utter like sentences that aren't comprised of more than 10 words. Like,
no, it's scary.
Free Raquel.
Free Raquel, but like free her from what? That
free
brain's
her from
a prison.
Herself.
Yeah, there's no free in that brain. Like it all, there's all a price.
If Kristen and Stassi are like calling you dumb, you've really reached like a new level of dumb.
I know, because they're definitely Stassi and Kristen, and I mean they're dumb in a way, but they're also like not.
You no,
know what I mean? They're not dumb in like the traditional like airhead.
They're not
way.
Like
they're not
stupid.
Airheads. Yeah,
I don't think they're stupid.
No, they're just full of self-loathing.
Yeah, <It's> like, they just hate themselves.
They just hate themselves. It's not stupidity.
When the cast of Vanderpump Rules is like questioning your intelligence, like bless your soul forever. Jax's card got declined, which I loved.
Quail surprise. Yeah, that's not surprising.
You think that they have like
a
lot
of money.
I think
they have money. Well, I think Jax has money. I think they make all their money from club appearances. There's no way that they don't have money. And then I was thinking, you know, oh, but then why do they all live in terrible apartments? And then we realized that, oh, they have no taste. So it's like, even if they had buckets of money, they'd still pick like literal trash dumps to live in. Because they just have no taste whatsoever.
Yeah. Which shocks me that like, I mean, I know it's just for storylines, but that like Lisa hired Katie to be her assistant and then like charges her with the responsibility of like picking out some like tasteful paint colors. It's like, do you know who you're dealing with? Like this person has like a brick wall with like Christmas lights tacked to it in their apartment. Yeah. Like, and like a piece of art that is just someone who spray painted the word Bubba in silver paint over like a black canvas. Like that's their decoration. So like, I'm not clear like where you would come in and be like, I think that you're the perfect person to pick out all my paints.
Yeah. Her insane. Artistic vision needs glasses. I mean, honestly, like
it needs laser eyes.
Yeah. It needs LASIK.
Like, oh God. And then Tom Schwartz buying Stassi and Brittany Jaeger bombs chilled us both to the bone.
It was, I've never taken a Jaeger bomb before. Cause, that was just never a part of my life, and my life story. But they're so big; they're not shots. They're like a huge drink.
Yeah, it's like a shot cocktail.
But it's like you have to drink the whole thing in one. That's like four shots. You chug it. That's disgusting.
The last time I took Jaeger bombs or drank a Jaeger bomb was in college.
Yeah,
I think I was like 23. It was marked the day of my last.
But these people
Jaeger.
Are just, you know, they're still in college. they're in Sir University. Literally anyone can get it.
Unicersity.
Yeah, Unicersity. Exactly.
James like goes off to his residency, which he's so excited.
I have to go by my residency. I'm at a residency.
And then he declares, this is my new pump.
Yeah.
Really, I'm congratulations.
Like, when there's like four people.
You're in an alley.
There's like a homeless person with like wearing a trash bag being like, woo. Play that again.
It's like that like patio area is, I know where the Redbury is.
Where
it's
is
like
it?
On Hollywood and Vine.
Oof.
And that little alley is like just in between two buildings. So it's like, I don't think it would ever get any natural light. It's like a true alley patio.
These people feel
lounge.
Very comfortable in alleyways.
I know. They alleyways like live for an alley.
If they find an alleyway, they just literally like just sit down, make a home. They feel very cozy there. They're like,
At Sandoval's birthday, everyone ended up in an alley.
Really? They love
there's
it.
There's like a smoking area that's like kind of like an alley-ish vibe in Busby's.
Oh my
and
God.
And like, I was having a cigarette relapse at the time. So I was like, I'm going to bum a cigarette off of one of these people,
right,
and like walk out, and sure enough it was like total alley vibes.
Oh honey, they're like, we're home, we're alley children.
At least they like to stay on brand at all costs.
Exactly.
I'm also obsessed with Sheena just like blowing up all the like
financial
details.
You can't do
details.
That. You can't do it. I mean, I understand her frustration with Kristen and Stassi, but you can't say that to Katie. You just can't. Actually, like, I actually really, for the first time in my life, agreed with Katie, and it really, really scared me. But I, like, it was like, don't talk to me about money, honey. You know? Like,
no. Nope. It's so rude.
It's so rude, and I'm just like, I don't know. Like, that's the thing, like, you know, Sheena needs to learn how to help herself. Like, she doesn't do herself any favors by, like, blabbing about that stuff.
I know.
You almost begin to, like, understand Kristen and Stassi sometimes. I mean, I understand having Sheena as a friend can be annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be a lot to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. But still, they're heinous.
I mean, they are awful to her. But
they're
like,
awful.
And also, I feel bad because Sheena probably needs that money to, like, pay for her future divorce.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's like, I can't, like, spare $500. Like, I have an attorney to hire.
Shay takes everything.
Yeah.
Which is just nothing because they literally have no assets.
She's like, he gets our wedding photos. He can decorate his new apartment with them.
Exactly.
But also, another, like, rich moment is all of them being like, it's like etiquette to like not blah blah blah, and I was just shocked that they even know what the word etiquette means and
oh,
that they
I know.
Could use it in a sentence.
I know, exactly. Well, they know it when it, you know,
when it applies,
to them, when,
it when
it's convenient,
them.
When it serves them. Mm. Yes, mm. S-U-R-V-E-S.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Jax is wearing Britney's camisole.
He is?
As a bra. Yeah. Did you
oh,
see?
Yeah.
She's like, how's my cami fitting you, hun? And like he pulls it off and there's like a little spaghetti strap. I live for his breast surgery.
I know. Which he got
I'm
from
still
using
worried.
Too many steroids.
I'm
I know.
Still worried
they
about...
lol, but like it is darkness underneath that
Jax
lol.
Jax is going to die.
Yeah.
If
Jax
he doesn't
is going to
die...
give himself like tumors.
If he doesn't die from breast cancer, he's gonna die from like Britney's mom and her, all her friends gay bashing.
Yeah,
him.
Exactly. They're gonna get some baseball bats. They're gonna see some baseball bats and they're gonna go to Sir Honey for some justice.
If those rumors are true, I'm tying you behind the truck and dragging you back to Kentucky. She's like, but I'm a Christian.
I know. Literally. Like, Jax, I mean, Jax, again, shocking that I agreed with Katie in this episode, as well as Jax, when he said, you know, I've done a lot of terrible things, and somehow me potentially kissing a guy is the one that she gets upset over. I mean, it's insane. Like, he openly is basically saying to her, like, I'm a con artist. I've cheated on everything my entire life. Da, da, da. And
like, she's like, cute.
Yeah. And Brittany's mom's, like, talking about, like, you know, throwing her daughter a hose in G.I. Joe's theme party and letting her drink. But, like, God forbid that there's any hint of, like, kissing same sex. It's like, ah, you're going to hell. You're going to die.
Well, even when, like, Brittany mentions it, that there's, like, a rumor about her, it gets, yeah, like, really tense. And her mom's like, why didn't you tell me this? And it's like, she's like, because I'm gay, mama.
I'm a lesbian.
It's like Carrie, kind of.
Yeah.
It's very like Carrie vibe.
It is very Carrie. Oh my God. It's very Sissy Spacek.
Yeah. I would love to see like
Piper Laurie.
Yeah. A Carrie interpretation of Brittany and her mom would be the best.
It's
film.
Really, it's really creepy. And I really hope that next week they kind of call her out on it, which I think they will.
Yeah.
For her insane hypocrisy. Again, she like doesn't flinch at any like litany of like terrible things that Jax has done. He's like, well, I've murdered a few small children.
He's like, I killed a bum and I buried him on the side.
Yeah,
of the
I
road.
Like to kill homeless people in my spare time.
She's like, cool. Have you bought a ring for my daughter yet, exactly. Or what?
Yeah, exactly. Murdered a homeless person? Yeah, right. Where's the ring?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's like, you better go to church.
Exactly. Just go to church and pray that away. Lightly murder, it's fine.
I want to know, like, what she thinks of this, like what rewatching it, if she like is, I wonder if this has been an experience for Brittany's mom to like make her more woke.
No, honey, there's no
one ever learns.
No one learns. If we learned anything from Vanderpump Rules, is that no one learns anything.
I always think they're going to. No. I really try and give them the benefit of the doubt. But
they're incapable, and they also have zero incentive to learn, because when they don't learn, it makes for great television. So they're basically like enabled by us. People like us, I mean, if they learned, would we have a podcast, honey?
No, that's true. So thanks for never learning.
Thanks for being psychotic.
Thanks
and
for
bringing
being
us such
crazy.
Joy.
Yeah. Sandoval thinks that Katie has a drinking problem.
Oh, which I love. I mean, if one of the people in that group is calling you out for having a drinking problem, like, I'm scared for you.
Yeah. Bless this mess.
Yeah.
But, like, I love the transition, too. Like, so he's like over at Sheena and Shay's, and Sheena's like, do you think Katie has a drinking problem? And then he's like, yeah, I think so. And then it cuts to Katie and Stassi going to the weed store.
Yeah.
Which arguably is one of the cooler things that they've ever done.
I like that they did that. They openly acknowledged that they smoke pot, which is great. That's a reality TV first.
And like that, but it also took me like a full 3 minutes to like process what was happening, because it's just so unexpected. I was like, where are they?
We thought they were shopping for bonsai trees.
I was like, they're getting like hideous centerpieces for Katie's dumb wedding, or like they're going to like Dylan's candy bar to like go get a candy for the candy table. Like, and then I finally was like, oh, they're like buying weed. That's actually very chill.
Oh my God. I love the logic of, oh, well, you know, I have all this rage when I drink, so I think I'm just going to like smoke pot too. I'm like, honey,
like, I'm not
going to
do any, like, I could go to therapy or like start journaling or like find a spiritual practice and really like take an inward look at why I rage out on my boyfriend all the time and why I have such a destructive relationship with people when I drink. But you know what? I'm just going to fuck it. I'm going to tranquilize myself with marijuana. Like, it's totally backwards.
Yeah, it's very, very misguided. I mean, for the love of God, Katie, just like, go to therapy. Like, I mean, I feel bad for her. I mean, Katie is really insufferable for sure, but I just see how much she hates herself and how that manifests towards hatred towards other women, her fiance. And I feel like, you know, it's a vicious cycle, and it's very sad. And it's like, if she just kind of figured out why she's so full of rage, aka why she hates herself so much, maybe she could get better. And that's insufferable.
Oh, wow. What a novel approach.
Yeah, but again, like, they're not paid to, like, evolve. So.
No, like, if Katie woke up one day and she was like, guys, she, like, went to Kristen and Stassi and was like, I had a spiritual awakening. Like, I can't do this show. Like, I need to separate from Tom and, like, really explore what my passions are, what my truth is. Like, maybe take up, like, flower arranging and, like, start a small business. Like, I think I'm done here. They literally have a meltdown and like strap her to a gurney until she agreed to just like keep living her life the way she lives. Cause like if one of them change, it throws everything out of whack. Like their relationships like hold the glue of the group together. And if one person tries to like better themselves, it throws things like off balance.
No, they all need to keep each other down for their own survival.
And I think also that has a lot of the
survival
reason
in quotes.
That has a lot to do with like why Katie and Tom are still together and like moving forward with getting married is because if they broke up, the group would be fractured.
Right. Absolutely.
And I think that like it's, for there are reasons out even outside of themselves at this point that it's like, okay, well, we're gonna get married now because like the group wants us to.
Right. I mean, these people all kind of took like an unspoken agreement that they would never change. They'd always be insufferable. And
they signed it in blood while
anyone,
the devil watched.
Yeah. if anyone deviates from that, then they ashes to ashes, they all fall down, you know?
Yeah. So let's just like talk about the roast.
Oh my God. The stand up, which I like to call stand down because it was so terrible.
Really terrible.
Yeah, I know. Seeing people that aren't funny try to be funny it's so uncomfortable, but it gives me a real thrill as like an actually funny person. And, you know, I mean, Kristen thinks that she's like the next Amy Schumer. I mean, Kristen's literally like, I'm going places like Gilda Radner, inspiration, Amy Sedaris, like loved her in Strangers with Candy. My stand up is a combination of like Amy Sedaris with like hints of Gilda Radner and Jan Hooks. You know, I fucking love Jan Hooks. You know what I mean? Jan Hooks, like, I saw her soon. He's like, she fucking changed my life and honestly shaped who I was as a comedian. You know what I mean? Jan fucking Hooks.
Kristen does this like fake humility thing that I'm obsessed with when anyone brings up the roast, where she's like, you know, it's like, I have to, because like, I'm like the roast master, but like, and it's like, she keeps phrasing it as though she wasn't like fucking frothing at the mouth to like host Jax's roast. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
And it's like very, it's like so classic Kristen.
Yes. Very, very classic psychotic Kristen.
But yeah, I mean,
Ariana was pretty funny. She had a good zinger.
Ariana had a great zinger. Kristen's reaction to that
was flawless.
Was
very on brand for her.
Flawless.
Always looked like she's going to murder someone. She always looks like she's murderous. And like, unless she's seeing people fight, in which case she like has an evil, evil smile.
She becomes extremely soothed and
she
docile.
She loves a fight. She gives her a sick, sick thrill to see people destroy each other. Like, those close-ups of her smiling, like, gleefully as people are fighting. It's, like, so bone-chilling. It's crazy.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you ever want, like, Kristen to just, like, chill out, start a massive fight with someone in front of her.
Oh, yeah. She'll be like,
it takes her to her happy place.
Yeah, it's her, like, version of an alleyway. You know what I mean? It's like an emotional alleyway for her. She loves it. She's like, I can just sleep in this unrest forever.
If you had to choose one character, like if you had to wake up tomorrow and be one person on Vanderpump Rules mm-hmm. for the rest of your life, who would you be?
For the rest of my life? Ariana.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, really. I mean, why troll myself? I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it might be fun to like be Britney. Just to like kind of go through life like with rose colored glasses, being like, everything's fine, I love my life.
But I think Britney is finding her sass and her like personal brand.
Yes, I think she is. I think she's finding her voice.
Like, there's a lot of rumors about that I've just seen on the internet and like people that have tweeted at me about like her and Jax getting a spinoff show, and I'm so fucking down for that.
I hope so. Hopefully that can get Britney out of sandwich duty because she'll be getting her own paycheck.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm here for like Britney's star.
Oh, I'm here for her to get woke.
I think you'd be Britney.
Yeah, Britney seems like fun, but that means I would have to fuck Jax, which
sign me up.
No, babe, I'm not really into like getting like new STDs that haven't even hit the market yet. Like, literally, like, he has some like fucking off-brand from fucking F-list STDs. Like literally, like, it hasn't dropped yet. Like, wait for this STD to drop the market. Like, it's like literally like too hot for prime time. You're like, what do I have? Like, every doctor's like, we don't know.
They're like, you have the Black Plague. It hasn't been around for hundreds of years, but suddenly
exactly.
It came back.
Scarlet Fever? Ugh. Yeah, no, I would not want to fuck. But, like, Tom Sandoval, maybe I'd want to fuck. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't find him attractive, but I also kind of... I mean, all these people are, like, borderline fuckable in a really hateful way.
Yeah. I'd be Ariana, and then I would try and have a threesome with Jax and Tom.
Well, yeah, that would be pretty easy, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I think they'd be down.
Yeah, they'd be so down.
Would you? How much would you pay for Jax's Warhol portrait?
-$5,000. I know that you love it, and you're always on the hunt for new artists.
Emerging artist Jeremy Madix. I'm like, sign me up. I'm ready to like start a gallery and show his work. Gallerinas with Yikes. Jeremy. I'm ready to like show him off to the world.
Yeah,
he
right.
established himself as a real talent
tastemaker.
I was like, I would pay $500 for that photo.
Yeah, no, I would not pay anything, but I would come over to your apartment and laugh at it.
What if I bought it for you for your birthday?
I would literally put it in the Sir Alleyway. I'd just like drop it off. Be like, good night.
That's so rude.
No, babe. It's not my taste.
I'll bet I could commission a portrait of someone from Jeremy and yeah. give it to you as a gift.
Sure. I mean, reach the sky's the limit, honey. I mean, if you want to get me a weird gift, by all means.
I would love, like, I wish you did drugs so that I could take a photo of you when you're, like, completely drugged out and then get Jeremy to turn it into a Warhol photo.
I used to do drugs, but I would just take pills and that would just make me look happy. Like, that doesn't make me look that fucked up. I would just be, like, smiling.
I know, you'd be too cute for, be like, to be trolled by it.
Yeah, I see pictures of you, like, when I was...
You said you, like, when you were on pills, you fell asleep at dinner a lot
yeah.
So that would be your
I took naps.
I would
I took impromptu naps during
snap
lunch.
A pic of you nodding off soup. At the table and yeah. then 10 months later you'd for your birthday you'd get like a stunning portrait of your most fucked up moment.
Yeah, I like that. It's amazing like what you can do to convince people that you're fine. Like when I would just like fall asleep in my soup, I'd be like, whoa, sorry about that. And people are like, no worries.
There needs to actually be a service that's like just serves to troll people who get like fucked up all the time. Like yeah. I have a secret Instagram with a lot of my friends.
You
where
do?
Yeah, I have a secret Instagram with friends of mine that like I party with.
Oh, I think I've seen this.
You've
one.
Seen this, but it truly is an Instagram that just exists to like troll each other. So we all take pictures when we're like out and doing whatever and then post them to the Instagram. And it's like really amazing. So you could take any one of those photos. I think a lot of friends do stuff like that. So you could take any one. I think I know like what real friendships are, which is like doing drugs and trolling people by taking pictures of them on drugs. Clearly. No. I think it'd be a great. I'm ready to start that service.
Well, I support you in all your endeavors.
I'm an entrepreneur.
As confusing as they are.
I'm an entrepreneur and future small gallery owner.
Oh.
Google it. Wait, can we just like have a moment? Because I never got to say this before and I need to say it wow. now. Katie's invitations to her wedding.
They're horrible.
Made me want to die.
They're really sad.
Like,
I know.
I'm sorry, but. Those invitations were on a tea towel, which is aka just a cum rag. Like, can we be honest about what that
is? I know.
Why would any wedding planner like be like, yes, definitely get it on a kitchen towel that like, it's like,
if it's meant for cum, it's got to go. Honestly, like that's my whole
wedding
philosophy.
Coordinator, Ryan O'Connor.
Yeah, honey. Like, you know,
I've just like immediately.
I like
my
a
brain...
towel though, like spill the tea towel.
I know. I like that too. I think it could be funny for like a place setting or something where you're like, you have like an embroidery or
it's
your initials
be a family,
on it.
It's going to be a family heirloom.
But I'm sorry. Like, why would I want people like wiping up stains and spills and bodily fluids with my wedding invitation? I mean,
yeah.
I guess that's like kind of an appropriate metaphor for what their marriage is going to be. But like, still, I was chilled to the goddamn bone by that wedding invitation.
It's pretty bad, but honestly, like, what the funny, like, that cost them like 20 shifts at Sir. It's very sad.
Yeah, so I just needed to really get that off my chest because I've been like,
it felt like a treasure hunt, like that had no treasure in it. Like, it felt like literally like you just unwrapped all this these layers of ugliness to like find nothing.
Like, to find a towel. You're just like, cool, I can't wait to like dry off my dishes with this.
Yeah. Not good. Not good.
It's not good.
Not good.
Well, I can't wait to see what else is in store for this season.
Yeah, this goof troop. No, I bet they have a lot of good tricks up in their sleeves.
And I hope that you'll be back again.
We'll see.
I know.
This is very draining for me.
This is hard for Ryan. He's really emotional. Full blown trolled right now. Yeah. But babe, you need to give the people what they want, and they want you.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see if I can serve it up.
Such a gamey little bitch. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
Of course. And then, did you want to talk about maybe doing a meetup, or are you going to do that for the finale? What do we call it? Oh, a summit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We have the, because we were so, I mean, Laura was so overwhelmed by the fan support. I was just confused. and so.
The fans really came out of the woodwork.
Yeah, they did.
With the end of Pumped and the beginning of this podcast. And
which all happened 3 days ago.
I know, which literally happened in a matter of a week. It was like a roller coaster, but it was actually amazing because I didn't know that people really cared that much. And it just is
if
like,
you watch Vanderpump Rules, you care. It's that diehard. It's that diehard.
So it made me feel really warm and fuzzy on the inside.
So we're going to, like, we'll do, or she'll do, and I'll just maybe show up. Who knows? A summit for a sir or something.
Yeah, we'll do a sexy, unique meetup.
I love it.
And then we'll figure out what the last two letters of summit, or the last three letters summit. Can mean. And then we'll do it.
Yeah, okay. That sounds good. You could do sexy, unique, meetup, because that's two M's, because it's a restaurant.
But then what about IT?
I don't know.
We need a restaurant with a T. Sexy, unique, meetup in, and then we'll find a restaurant. We'll find a really shitty.
Oh, T. Yeah. Like a T restaurant. Oh, my God.
So we'll find a really shitty restaurant.
Taste.
Lol.
Taste on Melrose.
That's perfect. Well, God, as ever, you're just a genius and a blessing.
Well, thank you. And I crashed my microphone.
All right.
Smooch, you guys.
Bye.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
Bye. I would like to welcome to SUP my second guest, my boyfriend, John McDermott.
Thank you. Honored to be here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming.
I couldn't imagine a grander entrance than the inaugural episode of SUP.
I know. It's a special journey for you.
Yeah. Well, because when
we cherish it.
Thank you. Because when we went to the Jack's Roast, I mean, that was like what? It was almost like a year ago?
No, I think it was in June.
So it was summer of last year. But when we went, we had no idea when it would air.
Yeah.
And it just so happened to coincide with the premiere of SUP. So. Mm-hmm.
I know, it was like perfect, meant to be fate that this is the first
episode. Some might call it fate.
Yeah, I think it is fate. So yeah, we went to both the fundraiser and the roast, like back to back within like 1 week of each other.
Yes.
And we kind of just started dating and I was like dragging you to these Vanderpump events.
Yeah, I remember thinking like this is my life now. Like, I'm going to be a fringe character on Vanderpump Rules.
Like, a fringe character, like, in the background, honey.
Like a hanger-on.
A fringe character. You're, like, one-on-one with the camera, like, talking about your feelings.
Like, oh, you wouldn't believe what Sandoval said to me.
Fringe character. The real law.
I don't know. You were dragging me to a lot of Vanderpump Rules events, and I was just like,
there was two
within a condensed period of time.
Yeah. So let's talk about the fundraiser first, because you had like a really unique experience there. You got vape roofied at the fundraiser.
I did. Well, so after we went to the fundraiser, so we walk in. As soon as we walk in, we immediately get shaken down for money.
Though it looked like a just donate if your heart is in that place on that particular night, it was like a pay to play event.
Yeah.
So it was
like for a good cause, we should say.
Since Tom Ariana and Richardson and some of their friends, I think, to Haiti to like help. So I'm like happy to give $20 or whatever.
Right.
But it was not like, it was like a cover charge.
Yeah.
A Haitian cover charge.
I just don't like being pressured into donating because it takes the philanthropy out of it. I like it to come, you know, as a function of my own charitable nature. Yeah, exactly.
But then also you had like almost like gotten to like a scuffle with a Bravo producer right from the jump. And I was like, who is this bro right now? Can you just sign the paper and like give them the photo and let's move on?
That paper was insane. The amount of personal information they make you want to give up is just ridiculous.
So like whenever you go to a taping of a reality show, you have to like write down your personal information, fill out a form, and then they take a photo of you and it's like signing a release to be on camera essentially.
Right.
But they ask for like your address and your phone number.
I think they asked for like your social security number.
Ask for your social security number.
It felt pretty invasive, I gotta say. I let the producer know.
Ugh, he really threw a fit about it. And I was like, this diva, who does he think he is right now?
You know,
if I'm going to be a fringe character, I'm not giving you my social.
Got to protect my brand. Got to keep it tight.
Your brand is henceforth ruined by being on this show. I hope you know.
I don't know. I think my brand got a major boost.
I know. People really reached out to you, came out of the woodwork to like
they spotted you on the show and texted you.
I started getting screenshots texted to me of like us in the background, like people hitting on my Facebook wall, like people I haven't talked to in years came out and just to tell me about how they saw me on Vanderpump Rules.
That's wild.
It was wild.
I paid the $20, which was fine. And I also, much like Jax, was worried that my card would be declined, but it wasn't. So it was all chill. Towards the end of the party, once like they were done filming, everyone just gravitated out to like the smoking alley.
Right. Everyone in the bar had like, it, I want to call it a courtyard because that's what it is technically, but it wasn't
really
nice.
Generous, yes, to call it a courtyard. It was like the walls were all painted black. It was like a little prison Guantanamo Bay cave. Where you could just smoke thousands of cigarettes in a row.
Oh, yeah. Everyone in the cast is out there just tearing down cigarettes at an alarming rate. We were out there.
Yeah, we were out there. And then there was like just a man with like a huge, chunky blue vape, like right, smoking it up.
Unaffiliated with the cast. You were talking to Chris.
He was unaffiliated with the cast?
Yeah.
He was just a patron of Busby's?
He was just a Busby's patron. Well, that bar is enormous.
Yeah, remember? But the area that we were in, oh, I guess it was like, we were in a separate area, but then I guess you could have been in the bar. Right. There's like another bar next to where we were for
and
the
party. And it has like indoor mini golf like in the bar.
Oh yeah. You really liked it there, didn't you? You
I was like,
go back.
I could see it. Well, because
we're never going back there. Just FYI. Don't get your hopes up, honey.
Well, in the episode, Peter's like, oh, I come here every Sunday for football. And I was like, I could see
red
myself.
Flag.
I can
abort,
see myself.
Abort. It's like it gets put on the list.
Spending a football Sunday at Busby's.
It gets put on Shane Hall's list of places you can't go.
Yeah, that's like you can go there by yourself, John.
Yeah, that's a solo and your bros journey.
Right.
Count me out. You struck up a conversation with this vapor guy and then just asked him to have a hit off his vape?
Well, he offered me his vape and I was under the impression it was a tobacco vape. It was just a regular vape. And I hit it so hard. And he turned to me and
he's just trying to get like a huge hit of tobacco?
Well, those things, you never know how hard you're hitting them. That's my kind of problem with vapes is like I always end up taking too hard of a hit. And because, I mean, it's not like with regular smoking, you can't really tell.
I can't believe that you're giving a Bravo producer shit for making you give them your address, but then you would take a hit off of a stranger's vape.
I don't know. You know, he and I were bonding. You were busy talking to Kristen. You were doing your own thing.
Your priorities are out of whack, my bro.
So I take an enormous hit off of this vape, and then he turns to me. He's like, wow, you're going to be really high. And I was like, what do you mean? It happened to be a marijuana vape, and I was
you got
so
roasted.
Stoned. Yeah. I got vape roofied.
Yeah, you got vape roofied. And then I was like, I was speaking with Kristen for a little bit. And then I turned around and you're just like staring at me. And you were like, we have to go. Like, I'm too high to be here.
I was too high. It was just too much. I was like, please, please end this misery.
Classic.
Yeah, I was very stoned. Your conversation with Kristen, I was kind of eavesdropping. That was very, very interesting.
Yeah, she was talking a lot about her comedy. She'd just come off of doing that sketch comedy show.
Yeah.
So she was on a real high from that. And then I think she was kind of talking about, she's like trying to come from a very forgiving place with me. I don't know. I can't, it's hard for me to really remember because she both like titillates and terrifies me. So I kind of go into like a fugue state when she's talking where I'm just like, I don't know what to think. Like, it's too much for my little soul.
It definitely seemed like you guys were flirting. That part was interesting. But it also seemed...
I really love that.
Well, she kept kind of like vacillating between like trying to impress you. Like, I think she thinks you're like really funny. She kept bringing up like white girl problems. She kept telling you about her comedy show. It seemed like she was trying to like, you know, really sell herself to you. And she like wanted... She wanted your validation. She wanted you to think she was funny.
I do think she's funny. Oh I do.
Yeah, all right. Well,
but just not for the same,
yeah,
for different reasons. Right.
Good point. We'll get to that with the Jax Bros. And then, but she also kept saying, she was like, whatever, it's no big deal. Or like, whatever, I forgive you regarding your past drama.
And then I was like, you don't forgive me.
If somebody tells you they forgive you like six They're different
lying.
Times.
They're lying. Run.
In a half an hour, then they absolutely don't forgive you.
Yeah.
Shit is not cool.
It's a red flag of right. non-forgiveness.
So then I got super stoned. I made you leave.
Got super stoned. We got the fuck out of there. And then a few days later, I was like, hey, Jax is having a birthday roast tonight. Let's go.
And I initially said, no, I don't want to do that.
He tried to like naysay and then just put like an executive order that we weren't going. And I was like, do you know who you're dealing with, fish? Like, we were going to the roast.
We had alternative plans. And in true Shane Hall's fashion, something else comes up and you're like, we're doing this now.
Mm-hmm. But it turned out to be a really fun night. I mean, it was also like funny for the wrong reasons, but it was still like enjoyable.
I did not have a single unenjoyable moment. I enjoyed every part of that.
Yeah. I mean, we stood in the back so as not to necessarily appear on camera. And then we ended up being in like being right behind where Stassi and Sheena and Ariana were sitting. So every time the camera pans over to them, like we're in the back either reacting or like not reacting to jokes.
That one.
Or like making out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like tying on a real white wine drunk that night, which was different, out of character for me.
You had like three glasses of Pinot Gris and then started getting
fresh. I'll tell you why. It was a kind of bar where they didn't have like a cocktail list.
Yeah.
Like you were either going to get well drinks or you were going to have to like deal with whatever shitty wine they have. And normally I'm like a red wine person, but then I was like, okay, well, I can't even trust that they have decent red wine, so I might as well like just do white wine.
And you can't drink red wine for like 4 hours.
No.
Unless
I'm like on my couch at home. Yeah.
But it was not a mixologist type of establishment. So you had some white wine and you were feeling very frisky.
Yeah.
Because I remember when we were there, I was like, babe, there are cameras everywhere. You need to pump the brakes. Like, I'm not trying to be on a reality TV show getting all felt up. And
he says, after attending two Vanderpump Rules events, I'm feeling used right now.
Yeah, you were getting real handsy, and I was trying to negate that. And then sure enough, like our last appearance on camera is you just going for like full makeout.
Well, yeah,
in the background of a shot.
Why not? I mean, by the end of the roast, I was like, can we wrap this up? Like, Ariana did a good job. And she made both of us laugh, I think.
Ariana is like, has legitimate natural comedic talent.
Yeah.
For sure.
She was funny.
Well-written jokes that were delivered.
Yeah. Well. There are other... Peter...
It's a pretty large drop-off after Ariana.
It was a large drop-off. But it was still like, I mean, it's funny to see the cast of the show do their best attempt at like comedy.
With their interpretation of true comedy.
Like every word that comes out of their mouth week to week is comedy. Yeah. So then to see them take it and try to actually be funny is like wild.
Kristen tried. I mean, she like tried to like set up like, she tried to write like real jokes, like set up punchline. But I think her and Schwartz kind of confused. Like when it, being a roast, they're supposed to be funny and kind of like cutting and mean.
You do like it's like a zinger after zinger after
right.
zinger. It's not just like airing someone's dirty laundry.
Schwartz was a goddamn savage. All he did was just like spout uncomfortable facts about Jax's past. It's like one of those things, like I'm not clever enough to craft a joke, so I'm just going to embarrass this person.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about, remember our interaction with Jax before the roast even started?
Oh my God, yes. So we were told to get there at a specific time, but then the roast didn't start for like an hour and a half. So we're just downstairs at this bar, this horrible bar in West Hollywood that I was like, classic. I've driven by that bar multiple times, like, cause I live kind of nearby it. And I was always like, God, this place is pure garbage. Like, I will never go here. And then the time that I go there, of course, it's for like a Vanderpump Rules taping. And then now that bar has turned into
a new bar. Yeah.
They've rebranded as Sandbox.
Sandbox.
Where I think there's actual like sand in the bar and it's like beach themed. It truly like chills me to the bone and both and disgusts me. Like, I can't even speak.
It's like I looked at the Google photos of like what it looks like inside. And it's kind of like a knockoff of the bungalow in Santa Monica, where it's like, you know, It's kind of got like a beach house party type of vibe, but it's in West Hollywood.
I don't get that for like a West Hollywood location. It's like you're at least an hour away from the beach.
Many miles from the beach.
So it's gross. Go check it out if you're really that curious. So we're sitting in the bar, just like killing time. I'm trying to get like a little white wine buzz going. And Jax kind of comes over and starts chatting us up. And he tells us this story about one relationship that he had where he dated this woman who lived in Orange County, and he moved to Orange County to like move in with her and live with her.
And lived with her for 36 hours.
And he literally moved in on a Sunday and was like, this is so chill. And then got up Monday, drove to work. And on his way to work, he was like, wait, this is so far from like everywhere I need to be. Like, I can't do this. I can't do this relationship. And then drove back home and broke up with her and moved out.
He moved to Orange County. And then on Monday, he realized it would take him 3 hours to commute to West Hollywood for work every day. And that just wasn't sustainable. And then I asked Jax, I was like, Jax, you know, before you moved, didn't you try to, calculate the commute time? He's like, that's not how I operate, bro.
So at least he's like mildly self-aware. Yeah.
No, he's like, I make decisions first, think later.
Yeah, he like, also did this amazing move where...
Oh, that was fucking batshit crazy.
He needed to take like a photo for Instagram, but he needed it to look like really candid. And so Tom Schwartz came over... And Jack sat down on a booth and pretended like that someone was sitting next to him telling him a joke and was like fake laughing like ha ha ha. And then had Schwartz there to take the picture. So it was like an action shot of Jack's laughing at nothing. And then he posted it to Instagram.
He's looking left as if somebody just told him the most hilarious story in the world. And one's there.
The Instagram's kind of like blurry. So it looks like, oh my God, we're at this like crazy party. Like someone hilarious is talking to Jax and Jax is loving it. But really, it's just like Jax is laughing at the air.
I like how your entire life can be documented in reality TV. And then what you post to Instagram is just like a blurry, totally kind of constructed fake photograph.
Yeah, it was really... cool. So there's one thing I didn't get to cover with Ryan that I felt it was appropriate to cover with you because we're in a relationship and this deals with another person's relationship, and that is the power move that Katie pulls on Schwartz in this episode.
I knew you would love that.
I loved that. I love like a you're gonna have to figure out how to get home on your own, and then like a drive by and then a drive off.
Yeah, I could totally see you pulling that move, but it doesn't have the same effect that it has 20 years ago. I'd be like, okay, I'm going to call an Uber.
Like, I know. It's like the power move. Like, women don't have a lot in this world, and now Uber has taken away the drive-off power move from us as well.
The strand by the side of the road.
Yes, move. But I love it. Like, I think that was like one of the best things that you could do.
I mean, pre-Uber, that would have been a huge power move. In Los Angeles, like having to just walk home from God knows where.
From the paint store.
Would have hated that.
Tom Schwartz looks like he still doesn't get that he could call an Uber when he's like clutching that sign. I feel like
he's like, what am I going to do?
For him, he was stranded in that moment.
I feel bad for Schwartz. I feel like Schwartz is like sending out an SOS, like someone please pull the plug on this engagement. Before I get married. Like, he obviously does not want to get married.
I mean, I feel like they hate each other, but they're just going through with this for, like, all the wrong reasons.
It's, like, one of those things where just, like, the inertia of the relationship is just, like, too much, and you just don't feel like you can get out.
It's easier to just get married and to permanently attach yourself to the other person legally than to, like, break up and, like, move into a new apartment and, like, split up your stuff.
Like, we already have a deposit on a caterer.
Yeah, like, I'm so nervous for them both. But we'll see what happens. Yeah. I mean, they get married. We all know that, so.
Right, exactly.
Only time will tell. One final question, or two final questions, actually. Mm-hmm. If you could be any character on the show, who would you be?
Who would I want to be, or who do I just most identify with?
Well, I guess both.
I most identify with Jax, like to a degree that I find concerning.
Maybe that's why we're together.
Yeah. You know
how I feel about Jax.
I mean, trust me, you've told me many, many times.
That was going to be my second question. Are you intimidated by my feelings for Jax?
No, not at all.
Okay, good.
probably because I see a lot of myself in him. I like, you know, there's just like, there's an alternate like dimension where I ended up with Jax Taylor's life. Like I'm pushing 40. I'm, you know, I'm still bartending. I'm like hitting on the hot new hostess, and like all the other waitresses are just like, don't even think about it, honey. You don't want to go down that road. I'm like three bad life decisions away from being Jax Taylor.
You told me that once when we first started dating, when I showed you this show, you were like, oh my God, you're like three life decisions away from being one of these people.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was very rude.
I'm just saying, like,
so
if I went...
expect a drive off in your near future.
If I went full dirtbag and like did the most dirtbag thing I could do in any scenario, I think I would have Jax's life.
Well, I love that. And that explains a lot mm-hmm. and contextualizes a lot for our listeners. Well, thank you so much for being here and being my second guest. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you'll come back.
We'll see. Mm-hmm.